Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Amen. Brother Spencer, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Lord, thank you today. I thank you for the many blessings, Lord, that you have given us today. I thank you for the safety, Lord, that you brought us to be here. Think of those who are unable to make it tonight, whether it be health or us, Lord. I just pray that you bless those that were not able to make it, and I pray that you would give us something special tonight here.
Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. Exodus 15, 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were what?
Made sweet.
There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. The waters were made sweet. When our mission team was down in Haiti, working on the cement for the Bible Institute building that time, Brother Wall would send a big jug of water down with us, an insulated container. And he said something about it was just for the American crew because the Haitian people have their own water. Brother Wall used to drill wells down there. In fact, we helped him buy a portable well drilling rig, at least one of them. And but eventually the Haitian government made it harder for people like that to drill wells. But anyway, they ended up piping in water to a lot of these villages. But it was a wonderful tool for Brother Wall to get the gospel to them, to get water to them, clean water out of the ground. And so when he'd get it all set up, the well and pumping it, and then he'd preach a message to them. And I don't know how many people were saved by that. And so it was a wonderful tool. We think of water. But anyway, so the Haitian people have their water, and but Brother Wall runs his water through a carbon filter, and I don't know what else is there. But anyway, he pours it into a container. I think it might even be like 5 gallons, and so then it drains down through this slowly all day long. So anyway, the Haitian people on one of those occasions start drinking water out of Brother Wall's jug down there. And of course, they'll just drink it right dry. But they call it sweet water. Sweet water. So how many of you have ever had iced tea with sugar in it? Okay. The first time I did is when we were moved to Chattanooga. And I was not used to iced tea having sugar in it. Wow, that was a shock. But they like their sweet tea down there. But anyway, the Haitian people call it sweet water. Sweet water. Well, that's what the Lord did to this water right here. He made it sweet water. The Lord used water to illustrate the gospel and getting saved. Notice in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Water is a good thing to show people that nothing satisfies on this earth very long. You take a drink and it, especially if it's hot, it's not going to be too long, and you're going to need another drink. But in John chapter 4 and verse 3, John 4 and verse 3, the Bible says he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about what?
6 hours.
So remember, the Jewish work day starts at 6 a.m., So the sixth hour would have been what? 12 noon. Okay. So Jesus is sitting on the well there about 12 noon. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So Jesus is showing kindness to her. Normally, a Jew would never drink out of a Samaritan's vessel. They'd think it unclean. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You know, she did pick up on that, didn't she? Living water. Verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall what? Thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall what? Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what?
Everlasting life.
Everlasting life. You know, anyone who's truly born again, who's truly saved, is never going to seek for someone else. If we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're never going to seek for Muhammad. If we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're never going to seek for Buddha or anyone else. If we come to Jesus Christ, we're never going to go seek for the Pope to forgive our sins, because we'll know our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. So what a beautiful picture this is here of the satisfaction of the living water from God. But there's so much bitterness in this world. And notice the conversation continues here. But this woman has nothing sure and nothing sweet, but she's ready to argue something in verse 20. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She had no assurance of anything, and yet she is willing to argue for her empty religion. And that's, you know, that's the way it is a lot of times out there today. People will say, well, I've got my own church. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so, but no one can really know that for sure. But I've got my own church. You see, it's no different than the woman at the well. Listen, sir, we've got our mountain. You've got your mountain. We've got our mountain. You say Jerusalem's the place to worship. We've got our mountain. So she's arguing something, and she has nothing sweet, nothing sure. There's so many things in life that make people bitter. So many things. One minute they're happy, the next minute they're murmuring. Let's go back to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Life is like that water. Nothing satisfies people for long. Nothing at all. They're not content. Exodus 15:1. We see they're happy at the beginning of the chapter. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath what? Triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Well, they're happy right now when they're singing, but they weren't in the previous chapter when they were headed out in the wilderness, and they look behind them, and Pharaoh is coming with his chariots. And it's like, hey, Moses, didn't we tell you to just leave us alone and let us stay in Egypt? It would have been better to die in Egypt than die out here in the wilderness. And so they're complaining to him, murmuring against him. And so the Lord tells them what to do. Well, let's look in at chapter 14, verse 12, verse 11. Chapter 14, verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, what? Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And so he tries to encourage them in the Lord. And then verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore what? Criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So the children of Israel are murmuring. They're crying out to him to do something. And Moses is crying to the Lord, what do I do? And the Lord says, go forward. Verse 16, lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So in verse 26, they bend down through the sea here. And then in verse 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. So what a wonderful miracle. But then in chapter 15, you know, you're seeing them sing, they're praising God. But you get just 3 days into the wilderness if you go back down into verse 22. Exodus 15, 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went, what?
3 days
in the wilderness and found no water. So imagine Sunday. Imagine Sunday, the Lord did something miraculous, something that had never been seen done before. Can you imagine now, this is Wednesday, 3 days later. Can you imagine then murmuring against God? Just 3 days after seeing a miracle, seeing him kill all the enemy and bring them down through the Red Sea dry. But that's what happened here. And that life is like this. We can so quickly forget what God has done and start murmuring. It's just amazing. Just three days later. So what did God do? Well, verse 24, Exodus 15, 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him what?
A tree,
which when he had cast into the waters were what?
Made
sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. What a picture of the cross. The bitterness of sin, the judgment of sin, the hardship of sin, the disappointment of sin. It makes life so hard. And yet the cross is what makes life sweet. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21, for even here in 2 were ye called, because Christ also, what? Suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare what? Our sins in his own body on what?
The tree,
that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. What a difference that makes in life. Then you think of all the different things that happen to us. Notice in Romans chapter 8, but you know what? It's the cross that makes things sweet. It's the cross that makes us know that, you know what? God is still in control. In Romans 8, verse 28, and we what? We know that what? All things work together for what? Good to them that love God, to them who are what? The called according to his purpose. The cross makes life sweet. Does that mean nothing hard happens to us? No, that's not what it says. But we just know that all those things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called to according to his purpose. Notice with me in Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. Excuse me, in Psalm chapter 34. What's the first word of 19? Psalm 34, 19. Many. Many are what? The afflictions of who? The righteous. So many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, when we get saved, does that mean, wow, life is just so nice and easy? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord what? Delivereth him out of them all. You know, when we get saved, God doesn't promise we're never going to face any problems. The fact of the matter is when we get saved, we now have a very vicious enemy. Before we are saved, we are enemies of God, but he's a very gracious person, but Satan is not. So when we get saved, we have a very vicious enemy. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, when we apply that cross, what happened on the cross, Jesus giving his blood on that cross, when we apply that to our souls, we're saved. And you know, it's the same thing, remembering that in our lives, that can make life sweet along the way. Ephesians 4 in verse 21. Ephesians 4, 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning what? The former conversation, the old man, which is what? Corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye what? Put on the new man. So, in the verse 22, it's putting off the old man. Verse 24, it's putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So, you know, life can be sweet. You know, there's so much bitterness right now. I mean, there's so many people that are angry about what happened in Afghanistan, that we actually pulled our military out of Afghanistan with American citizens still there. I mean, there are people that are red hot mad over that. They're very angry. Well, you know what? There's nothing we can do about that unless you have a jet or a helicopter or something to go over there and try to rescue them. And I don't happen to have one of them. But you know what? We don't have to be bitter. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to who? The devil. Let him that what? Stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, and that he may have to give to him that needeth. So all these things, you know, liars have a bitter life. Thieves have a bitter life. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Edify means to build up. You know what? Swearing at somebody does not build them up. It only cuts them down. We're to have language that edifies people, builds them up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We don't want to grieve the Spirit. We don't want to quench the Spirit. In verse 31, let all what? Bitterness. Remember, the waters were bitter at Marah. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye what? Kind one to another. And then what? Tender-hearted. And then what? Forgiving one another, even as who? God, for Christ's sake, hath what? Forgiven you. Just like back in the waters of Marah. You know, 3 days previous, they'd been down through the Red Sea. And after coming across there and seeing all the enemy dead, they sing a song. The whole congregation is singing and praising God. And in 3 days' time, they're murmuring at Moses, ready. You know, they're angry with him. What'd you bring us out here for? There's no water here. But God tells them, you put this tree in the water, in the bitter water, and the water will become sweet. And so as the cross of Christ is applied to our soul, the blood that was shed there on, cleanses us from all of our sins. And in the Christian life, we can't forget the cross, because remembering the cross will keep our attitude sweet. Verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This whole Afghanistan mess, the whole Cuban mess, why are we not sending boats to rescue Cubans from Cuba? Why are we forbidding them to get in their boats and come here? You know, there's all kinds of things that we can be bitter about. But you know what will make us sweet? Is the cross. All of these leaders in high places that are making these decisions, do you know what they need? What is it? They need Jesus. They need the cross applied to their souls. We can get mad and blame them for things. And people can blame us for a lot of things too. But they need to be saved. That's the answer. And that's just what we need to pray. Oh, God, we are in a nation that's divided. Why? Because it's a nation that doesn't personally know about the cross being applied to their hearts and their lives. And it's really easy, even as Christians. You know, as Christians, we're patriotic. We love our country. But we can get a very bitter spirit, and that's not going to help. It's only the cross that will help. So maybe we remember that. The people need water. All there is bitter water. That's about all there is out in this world, is bitter water, isn't there? But it's the cross that'll make it sweet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, I pray if there should be any here tonight who have not yet come to the cross where Jesus died and gave his blood, help them to realize that Jesus is the Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on that tree, on that cross, to pay for our sins. He was buried and rose again in victory, proving that his blood was enough to wash away our sins. Lord, we thank you for the sweetness of the cross, transforming our eternal destiny from bitterness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, to sweetness in paradise. And Father, I pray you'd help us as Christians. Lord, there's just so much anger all over, and it's real easy to get wrapped up in that. Lord, help us to keep near the cross. Help our lives to be sweet and to point people to the real answer, Jesus, who died on that cross and rose again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hands.